If you have your Bibles again, go back to where we were last week, Psalm 118. I'm going to read a few verses from 118, from verse 15. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The hand of the Lord does valiantly. That is the reason why you hear him shout. The reason why you hear that joyful shouting is because God has done a work of salvation, a work of deliverance. You will see in previous verses, he explained that nations surrounded me at a point in time. People pushed me violently so that I was falling, but God helped me. For that reason, he said, God has become my strength, my song, and my salvation. So that's why you hear the sound or the singing of joyful shouting and salvation in the tents of the righteous. He said, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. For that reason, I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. He now said in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, that is the gate of righteousness. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, that is the Lord, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. That is, you have become my deliverer. That's what he was trying to say. That is, when I was in adversity, when I was in trouble, when things were going the way that was not pleasant to my flesh, that is, when life did not give me things that I needed, all right, when there were challenges everywhere, when I called upon the Lord, he delivered me. Therefore, I say, God has become my salvation. You are getting the point there. All right, that is, anytime a man is in trouble, what he should do is to call upon the Lord. Because it said in verse 21, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. I hope you are following the point there. That is, I called to the Lord. That's why I am giving him thanks now. Now, we read that last week and we discussed a number of things. But I just want to highlight a few points before I go into what I want to talk about today. Now, what I want you to note again is that we established that there are two kinds of gates in life. And when we say gates, we mean the pathway by which you enter into something that you desire to have. That's what we mean by gate. And Jesus said that the way by which you enter is what will determine what you find. If we just, for completeness, quickly go back to Matthew chapter 7 that we read from verse 13. It said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For this gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Notice this again. That is, anything you want in life, there is a way to get it. And the difference, I say again, or the fact about life is that God offers you a gate called the gate of righteousness, and Satan offers you a gate, which therefore we can call the gate of unrighteousness. Are you getting my point? That is, when you want to achieve something in life, and our very good example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you read the story of the temptation of Jesus Christ, he said, bow to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms of men. These kingdoms of the world, they have been delivered to me. If you bow to me, I will give them to you. And that was in exact opposition to what God wanted a man to do. And that was why Jesus gave the word of God to Satan. He said, this is what God has said. You will serve the Lord your God alone. He's the only one you will bow to. He's the only one you will worship. And for anybody to say, do this other way, then he is opening to you the gate of unrighteousness. Let me explain this again. The gate is not going to enter into something else. It is supposed to enter into the same thing. That is, he was supposed to give him the dominion over the earth. Are you following my point? And that dominion, when he has received it, what will he get for receiving that dominion? That is what the gate you enter through will decide for you. Whether you will get satisfaction or you will get destruction. That is, a man can enter into wealth in life. There are many ways to enter into wealth. Many, many ways. The easiest one of them all is for you to take a gun. Maybe not the easiest, but one of the commonest ones that young boys find very easy. Take a gun, go and we leave a few guys. And then you make a lot of money. In fact, this I was telling you about the kings when we're coming back. I saw my friend, a policeman in Benin. I went to see him, collect some things from him. He was telling me stories. One of them was one young man, an armed robber, who decided to go and rob one night. And then, unfortunately for him, a few days later, the guy he robbed And the driver of the car went to his madam to go and see the madam in the hospital where she was as a result of the incident of the robbery, and saw the young man outside the hospital. They robbed them late at night, but the guy, because that guy gave him a thorough beating, so he recognized him very well. Which is, this is the interesting part. The armed robber said the previous night he dreamt that his time was up. Because that guy saw him, just quickly called the rapid response squad of the police, and they came and grabbed the boy. And he said, because he knew that his time was up, he told them there was no need to harass him or anything. No problem. He would just bring all the boys. He just brought the phone, started calling all his friends. Said, Operation D, Operation D, Operation D. He said, this one, you know what he told the boys? That this one, authentic information, US dollars. Ah! All of them were arriving one by one into the hands of the police. At the end of the day, 11 boys had been collected. And of course, you know the rest of the story. They entered into destruction. That is, they wanted to enter wealth. But Jesus said, if you enter by the broad gate, you will meet destruction. Are you following my point? That is, what you get from what you have received, is it destruction or you enter into life? What is life? Life is satisfaction. Being able to be a blessing to the generations around you. That is what life is. For you to eat and drink and your soul will rejoice and say, God indeed has been good to me. What decides whether you get that or not is how you entered into that place. Are you following my point? You know, that's why one of the things I learned long ago, and let me say it to you again. I said it as a young man. One thing you must never do is deceive a woman so that she can marry you or even try to impress her. Do you understand my point? Let her call you dry, that all she wants. The fact is, you must just be honest and show yourself to be exactly the way you are. Because, like we are going to see again today, the way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. If you have to break your head, break your neck, break your back to make a young woman happy so that she will agree to marry you, then you've bought job for the rest of life. Are you getting my point? Yes. You see, you shouldn't, don't let her have surprises. Are you getting my point? Don't shock her with anything. If you are not rich, you are not rich. Make it clear that all I have is dreams and vision and prophecies over my head, and I'm walking according to the word of God. And if she believes that word, believe me, eventually, this is a fact, this is the way life is, eventually the word becomes flesh. Are you getting my point? What you believe, what you have accepted as a prophetic word from God, will one day become flesh. The person who will be a blessing to you for the rest of your life, who you don't have to do anything special to make her happy that she married you, is one that is, will agree with that word from the beginning. And that is what is called the wife of thy youth. Are you getting my point? That is, how do you enter into marriage decides what you get out of it. Are you following me? If you go through deception, you borrowing a car to go and visit, you know you don't have a car. What's wrong with people self? She will find out one day. Are you getting my point? In fact, it's better to trek there and park your car at home. So the surprise will be that you're missing and you get this S500. It's, I just didn't want to shock you. That's why I didn't bring it the first time. That's a better one than to go and borrow one. Then finally. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, because the reason is that the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. What you will get out of those things you have acquired in life or that place you have reached, whether you will get destruction or get satisfaction, is decided by the gate through which you entered into it. You understand that? Now, those are the things we discussed last week. I just needed to emphasize it again. Life always offers you two different gates. You have to learn the gate of righteousness and enter through it. For emphasis again, the reason is because the way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. I was preaching along this line on Wednesday in church, and I told them, listen, if because of 100,000 naira or 200,000 naira now you have in a bank, you can't sleep properly, then you should know that God will never make you rich because he knows you will die by the time he gives you a billion naira. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, God will not, he won't just bother because it's risky. He knows he's going to kill you. So right now, you have to learn to possess your soul. You get my point? With rest. Then God will know that this man can sustain great wealth. You are getting my point? If I title that message, learn the proper way now. It's now when you are yet broke that you should learn how to handle plenty of wealth. Because a time will come when your heart will be overwhelmed. There will be so much happening, you will not be able to settle down to think about how to handle it. So before it begins to happen, settle down. It's good to fantasize. Are you getting my point? Settle down and say, God, if you were to give me 100 million naira now, what am I going to do? Lie down, cross your leg on the bed, and be thinking about it. No, it's very good. You know, it's very, very good. Just start exercising your soul.
that God, if I just to, you know, as I was just, I'm just going now, if this business has started now, what if suddenly we start making sales of 5 billion naira every month? What am I going to do? Lie down there, cross your legs. So I will employ this guy, I will employ this person, I will employ these people, I will put them like this. Yes, get a piece of paper, exercise your soul. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Start exercising yourself. Don't let things happen and you know, fall on you suddenly. Are you getting my point? And it will count for your training. Let me explain that again. It will count for your training. Joseph was primarily trained in the house of Potiphar and in the house and in prison. But they were training. You had to be trained. Those things that you do, Paul said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them and your profiting will appear to many. It will count for your training. It's been found out, I've heard about it a lot of times, that a lot of American prisoners of war in Vietnam, one of the ways by which they kept their sanity was to keep on playing golf in their heads, playing basketball in their heads. And when they came out, they were far better golf players than a lot of people they met outside. Are you getting my point? Mike Murdoch reported an experiment where they took basketball players in school, college boys, two groups. A group, they were shooting ball every time. Another group, they laid down and were meditating on shooting the balls. Are you following my point? Then later on, when they now gathered everybody together, they found out that those who all they did was meditate performed as well as those who really practically did it. Exercise your soul. You follow my point? Right now that nobody is giving you 100 million naira to manage, it's a good time to lie because you can't lose the money. It's in your soul. You understand? Nobody can steal it. You can't make a bad investment at that particular point in time. Anytime you read, you see, I told you before, information you get, they decide your character. They decide how you do things. Keep on reading. Settle down. Okay, no, I'm not going to buy these banks. Yes, no, this is not good. This is not good investment. So I'm going to put this money. No, fixed deposit. No. Okay, maybe while I'm thinking, I'll put the money here. Settle down every day. Are you getting my point? If you're a preacher like me, relax and say, if Kingdom World Ministries was to get 10 million naira now, what are we going to do with it? All right, we'll do this, do that, or we'll do this. Then our seminars here, we start, we'll buy cameras like this and start doing VCDs. You keep on. So the day 10 million naira comes, you've already prepared in your heart for it. Don't let 1419 will not come with one emergency idea and then you will fall for it. Because before the thing came, your heart was prepared. You are following my point. Learn the proper things now before pressure comes on you. Enjoy it. Look, when you wake up in the morning, part of your prayer and giving thanks and study, cross your leg and say, okay, when I become the governor of Enugu State, now, this is how we're going to do taxation. Start planning it. You follow my point? When I enter the House of Senate, and when I become a senator, okay, I should become the head of this committee. We'll be in charge of this. Now, these are the kind of laws we'll be working on. Start meditating upon it. Are you getting my point? A friend of mine told me something some time ago. There were ideas he had, all right? Then suddenly one day, one of these DFID kind of jobs, you know, these foreign aid jobs, they opened, you know, as a doctor. So he went in there, applied for it. So how will you do this? These are things he had planned in his heart before. He said he just brought out his computer, put it down, interview, opened his computer, and began to show the man. The man said, no need for further discussion. Obviously, you know what you are doing. Are you following my point? The man began to show him there, okay, what we'll do is on his computer, things that he never really had to do, but he had been planning to do. The day you go for interview, you will be surprised. That's how God does things. Go and read Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. You will see how he got the job that now made him very, very famous. You know, I've told you, nobody loves beggars. You have never seen a beggar and told him, good morning, sir. Do you understand my point? What you always do, no matter how generous you are, if a man keeps begging from you all the time, at a point in time, when he calls, you don't take the call. You know, you have to discipline yourself to press that okay button. Are you following my point? That, you know, every time, when you go out, you look for, you go for interview. Please listen to it, young men, young women. Stop looking like a beggar. That without this job, you know, I'm dead. You go there looking very hungry. They know you have just come to take from them. Believe me, they won't give it to you. Nobody wants liability in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mike Murdoch said it would be pervert for a man to pursue pain. Listen, you have your business. You open your shop. You see that, you know what I mean? You are interviewing people. A man comes to you and says, sir, I need this job badly. Say, why? See, my father has been ill. I've been sick a bit. I've not eaten for 3 days. And then, by the time he finishes, you are such a righteous and holy man. You will dip hand in his pocket, give him money to go and feed himself, feed his family, and tell him next he has just lost the job. But what do you do? Look, you know, that's why I don't understand all these multiple applications. Your application is in V-Mobile. Your application is in Glo. I see the same thing, self. I mean that it's in STB, UBA. After, at the same time, it's in Nigeria Breweries. At the same time, it's in Shell. It's in UNEC. All over the place. You've not even asked yourself, what exactly is the job I want to go and do in the place I am going to? Let us assume you're a computer expert, and that's what you want to do in all these places. I understand. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. I don't mean you can't look for a job in different establishments. But I don't mean that you are looking for a job as a bank officer. At the same time, you are hoping they will employ in the IT department of University of Nigeria Enugu campus to be their computer manager. At the same time, you are in Nigeria Breweries hoping that they will make you distribution manager. You should ask yourself that, am I all right? You are getting what I'm trying to say. Ask yourself, what exactly can I contribute? The giver is always the winner. There is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. That is the scripture. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, when you get to a place, let people be, you know, they should feel the thing that you are going to impact into their system. You know, this giving thing, we must learn it though. It's just that the only way we have learned it is how to drop money in offering baskets. That is not the only way. That's very good. That is a precious way. But there is this part of being a giver all the time. Please read that tract again if you haven't read it. Cheerful Giver. Please, if you don't have hard copies here, go to the internet, download a copy. Print it for yourself and be reading it. Read it so many times until it enters into your soul. Because the giver is always the winner. Are you following what I'm trying to say? The giver is always the winner. You go for an interview, let giving be radiating out of your spirit. So the man knows that if we don't hire this man, our competitor gets him, we have lost. You have to understand, every salary they pay you is an investment. They expect to get returns. So when he gives you money, it's because he believes if he sows into your life, he will reap abundant services. So you must show him that you are fertile ground. You are getting what I'm saying? If the man pays you money to go for a course, that's why you sign bond first. That this course you are going, when you have learned, you must use it to work for us for the next 2 years. Are you agreeing? If he say no, he sends somebody else who's ready to agree. He's not a church. You know, he's an entrepreneur. He's an investor. He's a businessman. Every dime he drops must double when it's coming back. So if you show him that you are fertile ground, then the man will employ you. Are you following my point? You know, I went into all of this by telling you to exercise your soul. If this is the kind, if you like to be a bank teller and you work your way up in the banking industry, it's a very good job. I've never said it's not a good job. Are you getting my point? Yeah, a lot of people, the only reason why they like jobs is because the people pay well. You understand what I'm saying? But if that's what you really feel like doing. I told you before that when my wife was working in UB, she had a colleague. Every time I enter these guys, their own side section of the office, and I meet him there, the paper I see him read, it's in the newspaper, is Financial Standard. Are you getting my point? Business Times. Those are the things he reads. So when the guy was going to do an MSc in economics, I knew that he wasn't doing it just to get a pay rise. The guy was inside the stream of the calling of his soul. You are getting what I'm saying? The guy, so he was always, you know, picking little things here and there. The day man goes for an interview, and maybe along the line, they mention something about the stock market, and they ask him. And the guy starts giving them the information he has read over the last 1 year from just reading Financial Standard, Business Times, and stuff like that. The boss will say, this guy really knows what he's doing. You quickly employ him. Because this guy can go and make money for us. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he learned all those things when he was not under pressure. You are following me? I remember those days when we were learning as a young training pathologist. When we were learning to do autopsies. I remember one of my chiefs, the guy was incredibly fast. And to everybody was a story to tell. That guy is so fast. But for me, he wasn't. The few times he will come into that place, I leave what I'm doing and rush to his table to go and see what he's doing. Are you following my point? Then I remember one particular day, I sat down in one clinic in the evening, where I was working for them in the evening. And I laid down. I remember I reclined on one soft chair in the consulting room. And I was thinking about some methods this guy uses, how to improve on this. So I go to the office the next day and told one of my colleagues, hey, I found out how to do this. The guy was like, How did you do that? As I was thinking last night, he said, at night? So this man, you carry this thing away from here in your head? And I look at it, yes. It's my job. I'm training. I'm learning something here. Do I have to tell you that by the time when we reach that rank of that guy, I also became a story to tell. This guy is very fast. This guy is very fast. The day I went for my exam, because our college, West African College of Physicians, they do the exams in Ibadan for my finals. When I went for one of the first practical sessions, one of the attendants, they opened his mouth. He said, you have finished? I said, okay, I took this long because this is an examination. So I have to do everything absolutely, infinitely, properly. You understand what I'm saying? I said, under normal circumstances, I don't take up to a fraction of this time. Are you following my point? Because before the time of trouble comes, I have exercised my mind. You are getting my point. And whatever fills your heart will come out of your mouth spontaneously. All this stammering when you go for interview is because you don't know anything. All right, I don't know why we went into all of that, but I'm just explaining something here. Okay, yes, practicing these gates, even when the pressure is not there, learn these things early. That's the way it is. Now, let me just conclude what I wanted to review there before I go into the main thing I want to say today. And that's the fact, again, that there are many gates in life, and the one you enter into anything through, whether it's a job you want, the way you get that job will decide whether you'll be happy in it or you will not be happy in it. But I don't have to say this but amongst believers, but let's just say it for completeness sake. If you have to date the boss to get his job, you are in trouble. Are you getting my point? The only way you get promotion is to date the next boss. That is the way it is. The way you get the result is the way you sustain it. You are following my point? There are times, you have to understand this. You do things, I'm going to talk about that today. Okay, that's the main thing I want to talk about. You do things that are difficult as a pioneer of what will happen tomorrow to make life easier for you. And today, you are taking the hard will. You know, we discussed that, I think, a bit last week. That is, to step into prosperity at the beginning times, if you choose the difficult way, which we said is the narrow gate, it scratches you as you are passing through it. After that time, you see, because now you have entered into life. After that, everything becomes easy. You are following what I'm going to say here. So those are the things we examined from that scripture. And today I want to talk about, now I don't know how to title it, but what I really want to talk about is what I call my own version of the miracle of seed faith. The way I understand seed faith. You see, if you see around the body of Christ, you see, a lot of times people say that when you want something in life, you give so you can get back. I'm saying this all the time. I don't accept that. If you want something in life, know what the Bible says? Ask. It's there in the Bible. You have not because you ask not. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you because the Father loves you. Jesus said, how all of you being fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father will give to them that ask him. Let me say this again. I don't have to tell you that I'm not saying Christians should not be givers. I'm not saying that. I am saying God said, I, the Lord, I test the mind. I search the heart before I reward the man for the gift that he gave. And selfishness begets nothing with God. It's called the killing of a seed. Paul said, if I give even my whole body to be burned, and it is not a matter of love. He said, and I have not love. That's what he said literally. He said, I profit nothing. But God said, I judge the intention of the heart. I check whether you were giving was motivated by love. If it was motivated by your need, I do not bless it. If it was motivated by love, I will bless it abundantly. And what I want to explain today is the reason why God blesses your giving. Now, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? I want to explain a number of principles. Remember what we said, that there are gates in life. What I want to discuss actually along from now on are those gates you take that are the gates of righteousness to life. Are you getting my point? That is, if you enter through this gate, your business will prosper. Now, notice one thing we said before. Things that spring up quickly are not usually of God. When God does things, He said, the remnant of the house of Judah will first take root downwards before they bear fruit upwards. In the earlier part of your life, in your endeavors, what God gives you is the chance to take root downwards, to establish yourself. You are following my point. In all those times, you are taking root downwards. You are managing 2,000 naira, and you are using the kind of efficiency that people would have thought you were discussing 20 million naira. It's called taking roots downwards. You are showing your ability to account on things as sales as low as 20,000 naira. You are following my point? You are taking roots downwards. God will not impose upon you suddenly the sales of 2 billion. When look, he will grow you up gradually. You get my point? It's just that the curve of God is like an earlier part is almost flat. You know, it begins to increase rapidly. Then it gets to a point, the increment is so fast that instead of going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, it starts going from 3 to 5, then 5 to 8, then 8 to 20, then 20 to 100, then 100 to 5,000, then 5,000 to 500 million. Are you getting my point? That's how the curve of God goes. But the earlier part takes time. God gives you the chance to plant your roots downwards. It doesn't give you rapid prosperity. Are you following my point? It's not out of wickedness. It's because even wealth is a matter of responsibility. You have to be trained in responsibility. You understand my point? You go step by step, gradually. You are getting that point. You have to understand this. So what God does is, he starts you out. Maybe it's business, an endeavor in life, whatever it is. Things begin slowly. In those earlier days, you are taking root downward, like I've explained, so that later you can bear fruit upwards. I gave a few examples. My pastor in Lagos, he preached in the same church for 8 years, and the people were just enough at the end of 8 years to fill the church for one service. Then in 1 year, he went from one service to four services. Do you get what I'm saying? And people who didn't know him before then suddenly knew him, you know, after that. So as far as we were concerned, he started last year. So the story is that this man went from one service in one church to four services in 1 year. They forget that he did one service in that same church for 8 years. Our most famous example, T.D. Jakes, he is not an overnight success. He's just an overnight explosion in our eyes. Before you heard of him for the first time, he'd been preaching and pastoring for more than 12 years. Are you getting my point? Taking roots downwards. I came to realize as a person, my personal experience, most of the things I learned that I taught from, and I still teach till now, I learned many years when I wasn't teaching anybody. The foundation was laid then. There's a reason I'm explaining this. I have a few books, notebooks that I wrote with my hand. When there was nobody to listen to me, you follow what I'm saying? I was writing down, like this statement you hear me say all the time. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. It was an understanding I got around 1997. I wrote it in that book. I usually date them. Are you following my point? A lot of the messages I preach now, foundations for life that I teach now, is why sitting down and meditating. Ask my wife, I will write her letter to say, how are you? And the letter will come to 20 pages. There's a book I've written, it's not yet published, titled Choices. The Key to Destiny was a letter to my wife. It's a book now. The Righteousness of God was an article for a magazine. Prophesy was an article for the same magazine. Your Future Has Been Prepared. It was an article for the same magazine. For information, which magazine? My alumni, you know, when you come for alumni convention, you know, the Light of Christ, we call it, that we just share amongst ourselves. I was editor and a major contributor for a long time. A lot of the articles I contributed then are now meeting books. Taking root downwards. Didn't have a platform, didn't have a pulpit, there was not on radio, but I was learning this thing and I was putting them down. You are following my point? That was the time the root was going downwards. Now, I'm talking about different gates. I've just said this to explain the fact that while you are taking root downwards, having entered through the gate of God, there are people who go to learn gimmicks on how to grow a church fast. That's not the right the way. It's not the gate of righteousness. Because they cannot understand why you should pastor in the church for 8 years and you did not outgrow the building 10 times. They will tell you stories that the year winners came to Lagos, it started with 2,000 at the beginning of 1 year, that may be a few years after they arrived, and by the end of the year, they were 20,000. They will not tell you. that there was a time Bishop told the story, he too was preaching and church was not growing. And he told everybody, no more eating in this house until we find out why the church is not growing. And they prayed and prayed until, according to him, if you stay with me, your mouth will bend until things begin to work. You will pray. He said he was like, God, what is going on? You know, I could understand his passion when he was saying that. Because if you feel anointed, you expect that when you speak, the wall should collapse. You speak, the wall just like, he said, nothing's happening. He said, then a word, that was a word for his own situation. God said, just keep planting the seeds. And then I will give the increase. I'm adding my own words to it. And for him, the way to plant the seeds was to start teaching breakthrough seminars. I don't know whether I call it breakthrough that time, but then every month, seminar. He kept on teaching. He taught and taught. Then one day, news began to spread. Something's happening here. Something's happening here. Are you getting my point? He had now reached the point in which growth now came very rapidly. But those who want to go and you think you can go and touch his trousers and tap anointing, then go somewhere. Listen to me. Listen. They came to Jesus Christ and said, grant that we should sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. He said, you know the gates of righteousness to that? You will drink the same cup that I'm about to drink. He said, are you able? He said, why not? He said, good, that cup is yours. You remember the way Herod finished James? You're getting the point? He said, however, having qualified for it, it's not even me. It is God that gives the increase. You are getting these principles. So the man thinks he can now go and touch the trouser of Bishop Oyedepo and give him an offering and tap into his grace. Now, look, amongst the men that blessed my life so much, three of them I named that are pivotal in each phase of my training in the word of God and in the work of the ministry. He's number two. You are getting my point? But I always realized one thing. I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody was preaching. I don't even know where. He said that when you focus on something, you are transformed into that thing. That's from the scriptures. Are you getting my point? But something came to my mind. I said, before you can be transformed, you must have the potential for transformation. Let me explain. No matter how much your dog hangs with you, he can never talk. You know why? He's a dog. Dog is even far. Monkey. Carry the monkey. Carry him to class. Put him for Bible study. Talk near the monkey. He will never talk. Why? He doesn't have the potential. I'm talking about being transformed. Yes, those impartation of graces occur, but only to people that already have been prepared by God to receive them. That is, this is how God does it. After he has taken your root downwards, the Englishman said there is a final straw that breaks the camel's back. And God said, this is what you will do, and your rain will begin to pour. Go and do this, and you tap a grace. Are you getting my point? It is not everybody that just going to say, I just tap this grace. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. They wanted to tap the grace of Jesus. They say, hey, wait. Have you drunk the cup? He said, no, yeah, go and drink it first. You won't come and tap grace like that. It doesn't work like that. You are getting my principle. That the blessings of God, they go like that. Initially, appear slow. That's why I like quoting Bishop Oyedepo in that regard. He said, the blessing of God comes at a time it will not become a curse. Even though it is slow, it is sure. Are you following what I'm saying? Because they are blessings that God gives you and erects you. That's why he doesn't give some of the things that people are asking him for. He told James and John, he said, you don't know what you are asking for. What he was saying, of course, they knew what they wanted to sit on the right and on the left. But he said, no, that is not what I mean by knowledge. You don't know what it entails. You don't know what you will even have to carry as responsibilities if you have to sit there. You don't get the point that Joseph slept better as a prisoner than as a prime minister. You know that. Once they say time out in the prison, everybody goes to sleep. Until morning, nobody wakes up. Prime ministers, they don't have that luxury, my brother. The affairs of the state, they don't give you that kind of, just be sleeping 8 hours in a day. So God looked at them and said, Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking for. He said, I know what you are asking for. And I'm saying, you don't just get such things like that. You have to be prepared. That's why the prosperity of God tends to come slowly. God is not in a hurry. He said, my plan is to do you good at the end. Go and study that from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I made you hungry. Then I fed you with manna. After all of this, he said, you know why I was going through all of that? I was teaching you. I was testing you to see what's in your heart. Because it's only when I have put the proper things in your heart that I will be able to bless you at the end. There's no need to hurry for blessings. Are you getting my point? Look, I've said, there's nothing wrong with desires. It's how you are going to get it that is the issue. You are following my point. I just find it hard to leave that thing. I'm just going over it again and again. I believe it's very important. Now, but what I said I want to teach about today amongst those gates is what I call my own version, the way I understand the scriptures on the miracle of seed faith. I have not been able to accept and relate with that thing that people try to teach me, that if I need something, I should give towards it. I believe that if I need something, notice the word, I need something for myself, what I need to do is to ask God for it. And what God does is, He shows you, there are many ways He goes about it. He can just give you something that just drops at your door, or tells you what to do, or sometimes He just tells you you really don't need it and gives you the wisdom to bypass what you thought was a need. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Okay. But there is a principle I was explaining of when people give and God multiplies. And I meditated about it for a long time. And recently, I put things together. I think I have an understanding I want to share with you today. Entering through the gates of righteousness we're talking about. This is a key to entering into prosperity in anything you want to do. And let me explain this again. Prosperity with God is not to improve your diet. It's not to improve the fabric that you wear. Do you understand my point? Prosperity with God is not to increase your fleet of cars. Peter Daniels, they said a man drives one car at a time and has only one pair of shoes. This is a man who gives out money in tens of millions of US dollars. He's a wealthy man. But he said his mission in life is to see how much money a man can give out in a lifetime and to do something that will impact this world for 300 years if Jesus doesn't come back. Are you getting the point? That's currently pioneering a drive to raise, I've forgotten how many billions of dollars. To use to train people in churches worldwide on financial empowerment. Are you getting my point? This man drives a car and has only one pair of shoes. Now, to tell you that, it's not wrong with having three pairs. I'm not saying go and sell all your extra pair of shoes. Please, people should always get the principle or the behind things, all right? Okay? Drives one car. For information, the car is a Rolls Royce, all right? No, let's get it clear. I'm just trying to say that the guy, of course, is a man that God has blessed. He drives what he finds most comfortable, most pleasing to his soul. But just to see any reason why you have three of them. You follow my point? All right. Now, so I was explaining that wealth is in Christianity, in the proper teaching of the Word of God, in a life of faith, is not to improve your diet, is not to improve your fabric, is not to increase your fleet of cars. No. Wealth is a responsibility. God looked at Abraham and said, I will bless you so that you will become a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when I have blessed you, the influence I will give you will make you make people around you blessed. That is, you cannot be in light and those who are around you be in darkness. It does not happen. You understand my point? Those who didn't get their money the proper way, they are the ones that exist like that. You know, they are alone, wealthy. Everybody around them is in darkness. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, they are the ones that steal from people to take to themselves. That is a stealing spirit. A real spirit of prosperity from God. The people around you will notice it. You know, we keep on talking about Henry Ford. But you don't ever forget that he was the one that made his workers wealth. Are you getting my point? All right. You know, I bought a book. This one I traveled. The guy just said that this would be good. Your wife would like to read this. 100 women that affected Christian women, all right? You know, in it again, I was flipping through it, I jumped in there, the Mary Kay Ash again. I said, this woman is just everywhere. And of course, what he was talking about there again was how many women she had made wealthy. That she was rated as one of the top companies in the United States that a woman should work for. That is, if a woman wants to work, say, this company, you have good job security, you have good satisfaction, you have potentials of becoming very wealthy if you work in that company. And that was our dream from the beginning. That is wealth in the gospel of God. Are you getting my point? It's not to eat well and feel fat and stand and say, yes, see, God has blessed me. All of you, the rest of you, didn't obey God. That's why you're suffering like this. Look at you. You know, I'm in the light. All of you are in darkness. No, it's not like that. But when you are in the light, are you following my point? That is, you come into a place like Enugu and you set up a company. People around will walk there. You understand? You will not be the gate man and be the CEO at the same time. Between the CEO and the man opening and closing the gate, there are many cadres of people that have to be filled by people who are around. In fact, you know, one thing I believe very strongly, and that's why you should be thinking be thinking. Stop. It's good to start life with jobs and all that, but always consider how many people will be blessed through the thing that I am doing. And let your primary drive be the number of people that will be blessed in the things that you are doing. All right? It's not a matter of what can I get. It's what can I give. You follow what I'm saying? God is a giver and his children must be givers. That is, every time you are thinking in life, what can I give? What can I give? How can I be a blessing to somebody? That must be the driving thing in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now that we have understood that, the question therefore is, we said there are different gates. So what is the gate of righteousness into such a place? That's what we are talking about. What I want to explain today in that regard is how to enter into that kind of wealth, to enter into that kind of satisfaction, to enter into that kind of blessing. I explained something from Psalm 118, that in verse 21 he said, I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. Notice that. That is, it begins, the gates of God begins with a prayer. Are you following my point? That is, I called to God and he answered me. Don't ever forget that. God does not want to ever bless a man to the point that he does not need God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had one of my friends those days, I asked him a question. I said, God has told you to ask for anything now. What will you ask for? I mean, I actually meant that as a student, what are the current things that you would like to have, you know? The guy said, why not? He said, I still remember, I was asking for $2 billion so that I would never have to ask him again. And in my mind, I immediately learned instruction from that his answer. That is why you will never get it. God doesn't want somebody who will never have to ask him again. Are you following my point? Because the gate of God is characterized by the dependence upon God. That gate does not work without God. That is, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they are only mighty through God. You are following the point? That is, they are only mighty through God. And that's what God is trying to achieve. When the man's heart is totally rested upon God, that is, through God, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. That I'm not saying I'm strong in myself. Remember what I said? Samson is a very good example. Samson was not a physically mighty man. If he was, they would not have been asking, what is the source of this, your strength? They would have seen it. It would have been visible upon him. When they saw Samson, there was nothing striking about his physique. There were many Philistines. Some of the people around him were bigger than him. They knew that something must be there. That is, God is saying that we strengthen you so much, a small man starting a small business, you will be able to take on giant companies. That's what we are talking about. He said, I will give thanks for you have answered me. It is a matter of prayer. That is, when you start anything in life, you commit your way unto the Lord and he will direct your steps. You must never forget that. That is, you recognize, God, if you don't bless me, I am a failure. You get what I'm saying? That is, in life, what I am looking for is the blessing of God. Now, like we said, you have the dream of wealth. You have a dream of prosperity. You have a dream to become great. You have a company you want to start. I'm a preacher. Let me not forget that you have a ministry that you're about to begin. And great things you expect to happen. Let me tell you what the miracle is there of seed and faith. Let me explain a principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's something I want to explain there. I will start from verse 6. It said, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, please, my emphasis begins from here. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Please note this and put it in your heart very well. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, we supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I want to read verse 9 into 10 again. It is written, he said, he scattered abroad, He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I will explain those two things. Let's just complete verse 11. You will be enriched in everything. For what? For all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. I want you to notice a principle here, please. First, let me explain what it means by his righteousness endures forever. That act of giving to the poor, it was what he called righteousness. Are you getting my point? He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. That is, when he gave to the poor, it produced for him more ability to give to the poor so that he could never stop giving to the poor. So his righteousness abides forever. You are getting what I'm saying. He said, therefore, this is the principle. God supplies seed to the sower and gives bread for food, but does not multiply his bread. He only multiplies his seed for sowing. Please read that again. Look at verse 10. He said, God gives seed to the sower and bread for food, and he will supply and multiply what? Your seed for sowing. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. That's what, look, linking back to verse 9, I was trying to explain. That is, the way by which he increases your seed for sowing is by increasing the harvest of your righteousness. Do you know why? I told you, there is so much that a man can eat. A lot of our gospels are gospels for people who have a poverty mentality. They are only trying to get for themselves. They are trying to eat. God said, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, if you give out 100,000 today with a faithful heart, meanwhile you were eating with 10,000 naira, your food cannot improve much. I'll keep on saying these things. You understand my point? But when I see that you are able, that your heart is that gives out 100,000, I'll give you 1,000,000. Why? So that next time you will not give out 100,000, you'll be given 900,000, 1,000,000 naira. And when I see that you have given out 1,000,000, next time I give you 10. That is, you are enriched. Go to verse 11. You are enriched in everything for what? That is, the purpose of enriching the man is for all liberality. Let me tell a few stories to emphasize this point. I've read around a bit, okay? But I have noticed one thing consistently amongst a lot of men of God, all right? When they started their own ministries, you know, when they began to minister, yes, you are giving to people, you are doing things, but God demanded that they give virtually everything they had into that ministry before God began to send supplies. Let me tell a story to just explain this. Can I get into the story once? He was broke, and one pastor stopped in front of his church when he was pastoring the church. And the man, you know, stopped and entered his house, and greeted him. Ah, you are around. Okay, preach for us now. He said, suddenly in his heart, he felt that God wanted him to give the man, and I can't remember the exact figures, all right? Let us assume, because this was those days when he was a young man, maybe in his own 20s. I mean, Ken Hagin died a few years ago, he was 80-something. So I'm talking about more than 60 years ago. So then, their dollar had a different value compared to what it has today. So maybe God told him, like, give the man $20. Now, to him, $20 was breakthrough. It was a breakthrough offering. You know, you get my point? And normally, when a preacher even comes, they don't give more than 10. Now, I'm not sure it's 20 he said, but I'm just trying to give you the proportion. Well, like half of that they normally will give. And even the church didn't have that money. So, all the time the man was preaching, he said till today, when he was writing the book, he couldn't remember what that man preached because his soul wasn't there. He was, what am I? Personal money. It's Christmas time. I don't have anything else. Nothing. That's all the money I have. So what was going on in his heart is, pack everything together, join the church offering, and give this man, he's a liar, I rebuke you, Satan. It's Satan that will not want you to, say, this is not Satan, my friend. You know it is not. Satan will never ask you to be a blessing to somebody else. Aye! He said, when the man finished, he packed the money, changed and everything, all the money, and gave it to that man. Later, he found out the truth. The man stopped in front of his church because that was where the money he had carried him to. He was going home. He took the last bus he could with the amount of money he had, and that was where his fare were carrying. So he dropped out of flatness. You get my point? Flat broke. And he too was going home to his family. And he had nothing to buy gifts for his wife, his children, nothing. And he had left it to God's hand, so he just stopped to greet this man of God. And this breakthrough happened. And that was when the man now told him. So he was very happy that, thank God, that at least I obeyed God. Now, what do you expect as reward? Suddenly, money began to come. No. He said, God told him that, don't worry, give him, I will take care of you. And shortly after that, some people came, gave him money, and then he too had enough money to take care of himself. Nothing fantastic, but of course, more money than normally we'll have. But you think that's the reward? No. He said, many years later, one day they heard that somebody was seriously sick. And he called his wife, and they went. The moment they prayed, the power of God came mightily from his hands, and somebody was critically ill, became instantly healed. He said, look, as a young preacher, that's exciting. You are happy that, you know, the power of God is flowing through you. So he was feeling very happy, entered his car and began to drive back. And God said to his heart directly that if you had not given that man that money, I could not have used you to do this. A few years before. Now, why am I using that story? He was enriched for liberality. Did you notice that? That the seed he sowed was not to improve his own personal life. It was to be able to bless somebody else. He has given to the poor. He scattered abroad. He said his righteousness endures forever. What I'm trying to say is this. God multiplies for you to be able to give again. Are you following what I'm saying? God does not do it so that I gave out one car, now I have three. No, because if you can give out one car, I will give you the ability to give out 10. If you can give out 10, I will give you the ability to give out 100. I'm not explaining something here, that this matter of seed and faith, it is not for you, because for you, God says, ask and I will give you. But when it comes to being an impact in your generation, it's as you use the little that I multiply so he can use the plenty. That's why we read that he said he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing. That as you sow, he multiplies the seed for sowing. Are you following my point? Now, I've not forgotten the main thing I'm trying to say. The gates of God. You start a business, you start an enterprise, you start a ministry. How to break really into abundance, into a large place. How to receive life by working in ministry for God. When I say ministry now, I mean whatever it is you are doing in life is a ministry as a child of God. There's something I want you to understand. I've not forgotten this. Quickly go back to Genesis chapter 1. From verse 1, God began to create, you know. In verse 31, it said, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Next verse says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. That will be chapter 2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. What are you reading this for? You want to know. This is where the principle of Sabbath began from. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me ask you a simple question. Why did God rest on the seventh day? He was tired. As a child, I thought he was tired. Because the concept in my mind is that when a man rests, it's because he's tired. I have been working, therefore, I shall rest. You and I know, as adults, that it is not congruent with the concept God. Are you getting my point? He doesn't get tired, doesn't wear out. So, God didn't rest because he was tired. So, when he said rested here, you know what it means? It means he ceased from this work because he had completed what he was supposed to do. Now, there's a concept there which I wanted to notice very carefully. And then, when he began to give the children of God, of Israel commandments, he specifically instructed them to hallow the Sabbath day. Are you getting me? Now, the laws he gave under the Old Covenant were types of things that were going to be in the new. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is what, if you go and read Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, he talked about a rest for the people of God. He said there remains a rest for the people of God. And then you will understand, if you read, I think Isaiah around 58, God talked about how people will get blessed by hallowing his rest. That is, by observing his rest. And that was a prophetic word. Some of the things I want to explain is along those lines. Now, so what was God saying here as a type for us? That he rested from his works, and he commanded that everybody should rest, having done the work that God asked him to do. Are you getting my point? He said, he that has believed has entered into his rest. You are following the concept. This is the way it works. The rest of God is after you have done what God commanded you to do. And they asked Jesus Christ, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. And I've explained that James said, faith without works is dead. He wasn't saying you must look for works to add to your faith. No, he was saying that faith always produces works if it is real. He said, by works, faith is perfected. That is, there is something a man does that shows that he has faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. And until he has done that, really, he cannot really, really rest. He cannot enter into that Sabbath rest of God. We're talking about the gates of God, right? Now, so God said, this is how I did it. One, I began to walk, and then I rested. Now, notice this. He rested after he had made the man. He created the earth, put everything in place, and you will notice one of the things he did. If you read the verse 11, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. What does it mean by vegetation? He said, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. Please follow that. That was what God meant when he said, let the earth sprout forth vegetation. This vegetation are plants that will produce what? Seed. And then there are fruit trees that bear fruit, but the fruit has seed in them. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, so that's how the vegetations came. Then he made the animals in verse 20, verse 21. Then what did he do? He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. He had released a word to fill the earth. What does that tell you? The birds had not yet filled the earth. The vegetations had not yet filled the earth. But he had created enough that had enough seeds to fill the earth. Then he made man. And then he also blessed that man also. Are you getting what I'm saying? He blessed them in verse 28. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and all of that. Then after doing all of these things, God now rested. You know what that means? That is, I have put enough machinery in place to fulfill everything that I want fulfilled. That was why he rested from his work. That there is nothing to add to it again. I've told you, human beings, even after God kills them, the only problem on earth is how to stop their population from growing. They will teach contraception, teach this one. But have you ever heard that the whole nations of the earth, what they are expressing, that population is coming down? Calamity will come, wipe out one third of countries. It's a matter of time, they start growing again. That is so difficult to stop them from growing. Why? Because there is an empowering word God gave from the beginning, which was what? Be fruitful and multiply. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't forget, the gate into prosperity is what we are talking about. The gate into abundance, the gate into wealth. We are explaining that there is a grace that you will put in from the beginning that it becomes impossible to stop that business from growing. You are following my point. Let's just go on. Now, from what I have said here, what that principle is this. God said they have seed in them. When a man is going to start something, he puts something there on ground which will produce seed in his fruit. Now, I'll try and put these things together. But God said, what is the sign of his faith? That's what I'm talking about, the miracle of seed faith. The sign of his faith. Because for God, anyone who has believed has entered into rest. He said, Any man who has believed has ceased from his own works, just as God ceased from his. What does it mean to say just as God ceased from his? That is the same reason why God ceased is the same reason why he too will cease. The same power that will keep the things that God created going is that same power that will keep the one that God is creating through him growing. That is, there is a word. Don't forget, the gate is a matter of prayer. At the beginning, it starts with a blessing. God said, I bless them. In the same manner, this man starts this venture and he blesses it with the blessing of God. And God said, before you do that, what is the thing you do first? He said, you put a seed. Now, are you getting the miracle of seed faith here? It is not that I want something so as to get back. You are not getting what I'm saying. That I want to create something. And the first thing I do when I want to create is to plant a seed before I can rest from my own works. And if God blesses that seed, let me tell you where was I preaching recently? I think it was in church. I said, listen, the only reason that a nation will be blessed is because you and I planted seed inside it. That's the miracle of seed faith. It's not like we want something. You know, recently my wife and I were discussing something. Some people needed money to complete the project some time ago, a business kind of venture. And they approached her. And she gave them money. And things didn't work out well. So they now came back and said, please, can we have some more money? She said, what is it? She was telling me, she was not so sure that I said, baby, give them money. I said, do you know why? I said, God always requires a reason to preserve something. You are the salt of the earth. If that thing has a chance of succeeding, it's your cash. It is small compared to the whole lot. I say it's called seed faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you put in that thing as a sign of your faith. And God said, that one has grace upon it. It will bring forth fruit that will have seed in itself. That you can rest from your own works if there's a blessing upon that seed. And if you don't put seed in it, you don't have faith in it. That is why you can't say Nigeria is bad. You take a visa and run to Malawi. And then from there, start praying for us. No. You cannot say, this stock market. No. Useless stock market. They will not join hands. Say, God, revive the economy of this country. Your prayer is empty. First take, he said, God, I have faith in this nation. All I have is this 25,000 naira. I am going now and buying shares in 4 different companies so that if they collapse, my money too has gone. That is seed faith. That is, if you say you have faith in it, then you put a seed in it. And God, I told that faith by works is perfected. Are you getting my point? All the dreams you have that has not demanded that you pour things into it will never go anywhere. Are you following my point? That is why you have to sometimes sell all that you have. Unfortunately, Christians think that that is only giving it to the work of the ministry. No, sometimes you sell all you have and invest it in your business and say, God, I rest from my works. That is my seed. I have planted it. Because if you do that, then you discover, with a prayer, then you discover a force. That is what is called grace. That business begins to grow. That is why you see all the stories you have to tell in life. Those guys did drastic things. Bill Gates walked out of school. Michael Dell walked out of school. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if we collapse, our whole life is dead. The miracle I'm talking about in seed faith, you know, I have read all kinds of things. I told you before, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Then when Jesus said he doesn't even know how. A lot of ministers have told stories and they don't. When I read their stories, I said, this is the key. You think this is the key. Look at the key on this side. Robert Shula will tell you that when he wanted to start, the first donor to everything they are doing was him. And what was the thing that he donated all the money he had? It may have been $200. Out of $10 million, but that was all the money he had. It's called the widow's mite. You are following what I'm trying to say here. That is, let me give you an example. First time. Now, listen to this. I was telling you the other day that as at, maybe by the end of this month, we'll have paid Cosmo FM about ₦1 million in this short a few days that we have been on air. Now, rent we have paid in this building, put it together, it's quite a substantial amount of money. That's for this. Kingdom has not spent much money yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Compared to some people, all right? But it keeps increasing. It keeps increasing every day. We keep on doing more things. We are reaching more places. Things are beginning to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the first time this place, I was told, come and look at this place. Do you like it? You want to rent it? Literally, all the cash I had, personally, I paid it as rent. And taught maximum of 5 or 6 people every Saturday for a year. And you know my policy about money. You know my policy about, I always say, this thing has to succeed, all of you. I say, hey, wait. Who and you discussed and said, we should start Kingdom World Ministries? Just you and your wife. So why are you worrying everybody else? I'm not saying that people will not contribute anything. I'm just saying that it is not, that's the way I look at it, it is not their burden. It is my burden before God. So I pray to God and he moves on the heart of men to do something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that's my policy. It is not as if some people think that it's, Pastor Bank doesn't like offering. That's not true. I've never said that. I have just said that Moses said, as many as their heart moves them. I've seen people who organize program and then they come out. This program has cost us so much to organize. So all of us have to. I said, come. In my mind, come. When you left your town to come to organize, did you discuss with me? Why are you making it look like it's my fault that things are not working? You understand the concept? You know, it's one problem with preachers. You know, we grew up thinking like my ministry is everybody's responsibility. Really, it is not. But God does, you know, like David would say, Psalm 103, I look to the hand of God. I expect my blessings from his hand. And then God moves upon the heart of men and moves money through them. Just use as an example. If, for example, let me use Kingdom as an example. Let's say God has called somebody to be a financier of this ministry, as an example. I'm a preacher, all right? If you want, now people think that give and you will get plenty. No. God says, this is the way it works. As for blessing you, that one is settled. You will eat well, you will have good food. Occasionally, I will throw pecks in your direction, you know, things, stuff like that. But if you say, this I commit to, seeing that this thing grows, because this is how we are going to do it. One day, you will take out of the little you have and give towards the work. Then, it's what? The miracle of seed faith. It starts, meaning that it's not as if I now give you plenty, you will not be abundant. No, since you say this is what you want to do, are you getting my point? The next time I give you the ability to do some more. That is why you hear this story is a fact. A friend of mine was telling me about one particular church in Lagos. He said he can point to these persons who in this church grew up to be multi-millionaires. This is a principle. The guys looked at and said, we have been called to support this thing. So while they were yet poor, they began. Are you following my point? Therefore, God increased them so that they can abound to liberality. But when people want to repeat the story, they say, if you want quick breakthrough, support. No, it's not like that. You are following what I'm trying to say? Now, let me just get back to the main thing I'm saying. So for me personally, God is saying that if you don't believe in it, who will believe in it? You have a dream. You that's dreaming the dream. You have not sacrificed anything for the dream. Listen to me. To sell your car to finance your business is a seed faith. Look, God allows to do that at the beginning. And likely, that is the only time you will have to sell your car. Let me shock you. One day, you will sell a whole expanse of estate that God has given you to move it up to another level. Are you getting my point? That is, you are being powered by a particular dream. Oh, this company must employ 600,000 people within West Africa alone. Then one, the opportunities will come that we appear as if if you miss this, that is like, if this goes wrong, you are dead. And God said, God will allow you see, if you get it, you will employ 700,000. Since that is your dream, you will risk dying so that you can achieve the employment of 700,000 people. That is what he meant when he said, a seed, while it abides alone, while it lives, abides alone. But when he dies, what does it mean when he dies? What Jesus was saying is this: he that loves his life is the one that will lose it. But the one willing to kill that life so as to achieve the vision of God is the one that will discover that the company will not die. Listen, if because of security you refuse to take that risk, you know what I mean by risk in quotes, watch it, after that day the company begins to go down. I quoted Helen Keller for us some time ago. He says security is an illusion. There is nothing like this in this life. He said those who are trying to be secure and therefore are running away from danger, he said on the long run, they are not even safer than those who just brazenly face the danger. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote, but I quoted it for us here some time ago. You are getting what I mean by the miracle of seed faith. Are you getting what I mean by my own concept of it? That is, God, when you give towards something, be it a work of the ministry, be it a vision in your life. Come on, there are times you believe that God said I should start a school, or my school will grow to be this big. Along the line, God will say, the only way this thing will move forward is, this is your two cars. You go sell them all. You go manage this tiny one. Go and read all the great men you have read about. They did that. A point came. I mean, let me give you an example. Oh, very good example. Oh, God, thanks for reminding me of this, my favorite example again. Mary Kay said, after retiring, and she was going to start the company, she started with all the savings she had in the world. Not a dime left. That is, that companies go bomb, she goes back to working as a middle-aged woman. You see the seed? Are you seeing the seed I'm talking about? Her son left a job that was paying three times more than her mother was willing to pay him, because she believes that nothing my mother does ever goes down. The other son said, please, because of the location of my family and everything, I cannot move to join a company that had not started. Then the guy took out his checkbook and filled out, I think, $5,000. And the woman realized that that was all the money this boy had saved all his life, gave to the mother. He said, Mommy, I have never seen you do anything that failed. Look, when the woman died and Richard, her son, became the president of the company, he wasn't sit on my right hand and let just sit. She had to drink the cup like her mother drank. You are getting my point? He will now come and queue up and say, see my degrees, BSc accounting, on top of that BSc business management, then MBA, PhD management, experiences here. You tell all the stories. I'm a chartered accountant. I am a hired accountant. I am a commissioned accountant. When you will have finished, the question will be, are you able to drink the cup that I drank? That is, see Richard, that I have made the president, who does not have a fraction of your qualifications, what qualified him to sit at my right hand? I will tell you, he left a job that a young man would have loved, for one that, you have to understand, pay was not even guaranteed. That is, for him, there was a miracle that came out of his seed, that was a sign of his faith that Mommy doesn't fail. If one day, I don't know whether it really happened like this, but let's assume one day when that woman wrote a check for $50 million and gave that to that her other son, nobody can open mouth and talk. Because one day, if you understand the way life is in those countries, you know a man cannot just carry his savings and throw it away like that. You are getting my point. That is, she was enriched for all liberality. Remember her story I told this the other time, of how she promised in her church she would double whatever it is that they raise for a building project. People that used to raise $1,000 on good days before raised $106,000. And according to her own rule, you have to pay immediately, no pledges. So when she said she would double it, she also had to pay immediately. They tried to release her from her pledge. And she said, no, I have made the pledge. At that point, she didn't have the cash. She had to go and borrow from the bank. So she said, I will go and borrow from the bank and pay them back. She was wealthy. She could pay back. Shortly, while she was still thinking of that same chair, the phone rang again. God multiplied her seed for sowing and increased the harvest of her righteousness. Her son said, that, again, the same principle here, working a second time, at the same time, parallel to this, he said, that investment you made some time ago has started yielding, and your profit in the first month is over $100,000. She titled that chapter, You Can't Outgive God. I want us to get this principle. What do I mean by seed? God said, when I rested, it wasn't because I was tired. It's because I had done the things necessary. That is mentally, in your souls, in your spirits as children of God, once you have done this, you too should rest. Say, God, I have given everything I have towards this vision. If it fails, it's you. Then after that, remember we talked about the power of patience. You start doing as occasion serves you. Maybe I'll come back to that matter of patience again next time. Because things will begin to happen. You know you have sown your seed. God said, I have rested from my works. That is, I have put enough force on the ground to populate the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Talk, like they say, is cheap. But talk is not exactly cheap. You know what I mean? If you're prophesying, it's expensive. All right? But I'm talking about people just talk. You know, a friend of mine said something once. He had a car, which the Lord organized for him in a very good fashion. People, you know, gather together, you know, purchase the car and give to him. He's a minister. Then one day, they had needs in church and all that. So he sold the car and used the money to meet the need, immediate need. And one of the guys in the church heard and said, no, how can pastor do this? That is not allowed. This is how can pastor be tracking? So they said, okay. It's not a car. We sold one. She will come buy another one. So they now formed the committee and put the noise-making man as the head of the committee. See, he was so vociferous about the whole thing. So when he said, okay, now, first meeting, the man said, he has some financial problems right now, so maybe what he can really raise, all he can really raise is this $5,000. After that, they closed the committee, that there's no point. You're the one making noise. The young man, the pastor, just ordered the committee closed. It's not talk. I'm using that one to let you know that talk is very easy to shout. Oh, this is such a great work. It should go on. This vision I have in my heart. But the moment they offer you a better job than the one you have, which will give you no time for the vision, you take it to. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are not willing to sacrifice anything for it. That is why miracles will not happen on it. Look, I have taken a lot of your time. I took much more time than I thought I would take extra. All right, the Lord is good. If you have learned something today, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you. Let us pray.